is everyone doing today? Bethany here. You're listening to Just Be with Bethany Frankel. So the holidays. If I get another message from a man that I'm talking to or is pursuing me or I might date, that's like, what are you doing for the holidays? Where are you going? You going away? Did I miss the memo? No, where am I going? I'm not going away. One guy sent me a picture of the airport, which was wide open the day before Thanksgiving, and said, wow, look at the airport. Like, as if he had won some fucking prize. Like, as if he had really been so smart to really nail it. And I said, well, yeah, that's because Fauci said it's wildly irresponsible to be traveling right now. Like, I thought, do you see Anthony Fauci at the airport? No. So where am I going? I think I'm going nowhere. I'm going nowhere fast. I just don't see the need for now to be, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I need to get some sun, or I feel like I got to get out of here or wherever that is. And I'm choosing to take this time to be present, to reflect, to be in the moment, to just not try to hit a home run, to just, I do really come from a place of, yes, I may not always be in a good mood, but I come from the place where if something negative is happening, you try to make meaning out of it. So I said to Brynn, you know, what do you want to do? And she said, I just like being with my mama and being near the Christmas tree and decorating and making gingerbread houses. And so for me, it's just really home is actually where the heart is. I've heard that my whole life, and I've never really just really from the depths of my body understood what it means. And my heart is with my daughter and with being healthy and with being safe and having good friends to talk to and making life positive by FaceTiming people instead of seeing them and working really hard. And I just feel like it's okay to sit still. For so many years, I traveled so much and it was a grind and you just did it and opportunities presented themselves. And I remember so many years when there were no opportunities. So I guess it's hard to pass things up. But I have really taken away from this that it's just so nice to sit down with my daughter. Sitting still has been very, very good, even if it's uncomfortable. And I think that choosing sleep as a priority and drinking water and being healthy and just being present and in the moment and thoughtful and thinking about what's important and cutting some people out of your life because they don't, you know, reflect what you think is important, particularly during this challenging time, or just not cutting people out, maybe just sort of distancing yourself from things that feel negative and focusing on the positives. We can run our businesses in a different way, in a more streamlined way. Many people don't have businesses anymore. Many people don't have jobs anymore. And millions of people won't even have food this Christmas. So I think when we slow down, we think about others more, we're more compassionate. And I just think that it's the first time that everyone has permission to slow down. And so why not take that? There will be another bikini. There will be another frozen drink and another summer, hopefully. And for me, it's as the world and the universe is speaking and I am listening. So I am sitting still. So this is major. Maria Shriver is a legend, a veteran, a professional. I mean, I really have to stop and think about the fact that I am interviewing the ultimate interviewer, a seasoned journalist, a philanthropist for years. She is so interesting, so gentle, so beautiful inside and out. We discuss our identities as a woman. We discuss the balance between family and career, and we discuss our dating profiles. So I think you're going to enjoy it. She's founded the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. She's won a Peabody Award and 2 Emmy Awards, and I just cannot wait to share this conversation with you. Oh my God. Hi, Maria. Because I said I need a minute. I have like a bite of Lara Bar. Hold on. Let me get it out of my teeth. I'm sorry.
No problem.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you so much. I mean, I'm good, but I'm so grateful.
Oh, well, thank you. That's sweet of you.
You're so interesting and so amazing. And you were nice enough to have me on your Instagram Live.
Yeah.
And I know that your son and I know people in common, or he's interestingly, you told me, aware of me or kind of follows me, which I found to be interesting because he's a different generation.
Yeah.
But like you've had different chapters of your life that don't even seem like they could be connected to the other chapters. I mean, you just really seem like you've lived with passion and just your gut.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. I think it's, every decade has been different, and every decade has been, I would say, passion fueled and purpose filled. I was raised by two extraordinary people who devoted their life really to trying to make a difference in the world, and who saw the world kind of in terms of social justice, and really firmly believed that everybody that they met and everybody that they raised was here to give back and be a part of making a difference. So I think that's been a kind of a guiding principle from my entire life, or for my entire life.
Well, the reason that's interesting to me is because personally, I had the exact opposite experience. And sometimes I envy people who have such a strong foundation and support system, because it really is like a house. If you have that good foundation underneath you, there are just certain things that you feel secure in life about that you don't have to worry about. That's what it sounds like. You had a secure childhood.
So I grew up in a very chaotic family, a very chaotic time in the 60s. And there was a lot going on in my family. I've tried to build a more secure, quiet environment for my children, even though their dad and I were both kind of in the public in sphere, so to speak. I was very protective of them, didn't want to trot them out, and made a kind of really clear and conscious decision not to do that with them, so that they would be able to grow up in a more secure, more quiet, I should say, upbringing than perhaps what I had. And I also, and I think their dad and I both really wanted to raise them with, we expect you to give back. You don't have to follow what we're doing, but find something that stirs your soul, that makes you feel full and makes you feel good. And give back in some way, because you are raised in a place of privilege. There's pluses and minuses to all ways of growing up, right? What I've tried to kind of look at is, what is my path? What do I want to take from my parents? What do I want to do differently? What were the gifts of that upbringing? What are the things that I really didn't like, so I don't want to repeat? And I assume our kids will do the same.
Well, it's true. And I call that break the chain. You know the patterns.
Absolutely.
That you want to break and intervene. And, it's funny because I haven't really thought about how there's been so much success in your family. And did you feel a tremendous sense of pressure with that? Because some people can, it sounds like you've thrived and you were just able to absorb it like a sponge. But I would think that would be, it feels like a competitive environment, even within your family, which is totally common. I'm just curious how that dynamic feels.
Well, it was very competitive. I think, big Irish Catholic families are competitive by their nature, right? I think, and certainly I was well aware from a very young age that the bar was really high. I was like, okay, somebody's president, somebody's attorney general, everybody's running for president. Like,
wow.
There is really kind of, those are big shoes to fill. But for me, journalism was my own place and space. It was a way for me to do some what I called political work, but through journalism. And
wow.
It was a way for me to carve out my own identity separate, and really to go to work and work my way up from the bottom all the way to the top, and then to understand that was also an incredibly competitive business. It was very male-dominated when I went in. So in many ways, I was well-suited to it because I came from a competitive, male-dominated family. So I think many of the things that might have thrown somebody else off in journalism in the 80s, the 90s, didn't throw me off. And, you know, so even when I was fired, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just bounce right back. And so the worlds that I've navigated, be it journalism or politics, are both very tough, very competitive. And so to have been raised in a tough, competitive family, I thrived in both of those arenas, I think.
Well, it's interesting because the first word I wanted to talk to you about when thinking about you was identity. And you, that was literally the first thing I was thinking that I would ask you. And you mentioned that you have changed what you're doing, or the chapters have been every 10 years, every decade. So your identity has been from something to be a member of the Kennedy family to a journalist, a philanthropist. And now who are you?
I'm Maria. And I think my life's journey has been to get to that place beyond the commas, where the commas come after the Maria. So I think all of us, no matter who we are trying to become ourselves. I think my curiosity was what fueled my journalism, but my curiosity also has fueled my own personal development. So my path to where I am today is I'm trying to be the best version of myself.
So how do you see yourself?
I see myself first and foremost as a woman, as Maria. And then I see myself really as a mother. And I see myself as a human being here to perhaps look at, inspire other people, to see other people, to value other people, to lift up other people. It's the work that I do in my journalism with my Sunday paper, is to really try to elevate voices of people that I think are trying to move humanity forward, that I think are trying to make a difference. It permeates really the documentaries that I produce, the films I produce, the stories that I do. And I try to really approach all of my work and my conversations by looking at who is that person, not at what they do, not at what family mm-hmm. they come from, but actually who they are. And that's something that I have always longed for, that people approach me that way.
No, of course.
And I
of
think
course.
That's something that everybody wants. They want to be known themselves, right? I think I think that's what fuels the loneliness epidemic in this country. I think it's what fuels so many emotional challenges, is that people don't feel seen. I think you can grow up in a very famous family, a very visible family, and be invisible. And, you know, only people ask you about your parents, or only people ask you about your family, but they don't ask you about yourself. So who I am today is a combination of all of those things, of my journalism, of my parenting, of the time I spent as a wife, as the time I spent as a young journalist, as an anchor, as a writer, as a producer. And so I kind of just am, you know, here I am kind of working on being fully evolved. That's kind of my path and goal in life.
It's interesting because I've been lately thinking about authenticity more. And I get what you're saying. And so many women have been sending me, this is me and my glasses with my hair crazy. This is me with my dog, with my pimple medicine. And I don't mean it superficially. And I don't mean just the way you look when you don't look great. I just mean being not afraid to say, like, this is where I am in my life. And what I mean is people saying, like, I've earned these wrinkles, and that my face tells a story. And like, I think that's really powerful. And I understand you're not talking about superficiality, and neither am I, but I understand what you mean by when you're now Maria. When did you become Maria?
You're always becoming, right? You're trying to become yourself. And I think mm-hmm. that what I try to tell my kids is that, you know, different decades of your life, you're kind of focused on different things. So in your 20s, you might be building your career, and you might be, you know, running around or traveling or trying to kind of make your way. And then you may try to build your family, and you may be focused in that, and you may be kind of trying to balance both of those things, and those two things are your priority, and you identify as such. And then maybe you're taking care of your parents, and then you add another layer onto that. And then at some point, you know, you're kind of like standing there and you've raised your kids or you've, you know, been in a marriage and maybe that marriage is over. And then you're standing there kind of naked, right? You're standing there alone and your job is to be able to be standing there fully yourself at whatever age that is, and to be interesting, to be curious, to be yourself. And I feel very settled in a way, although I don't like that word, but I like where I am in my life. I like the career that I built and that I had and that I have. I like having worked my way from the ground up. Journalism was really good. I liked my time as first lady. I liked being married. I have transitioned to being single. I loved when my children were little, and I love where they are as adults. And I am optimistic about my future. Even though I'm older, I'm still optimistic that I have much to give back, that I can still be interesting, that I can, that I have a voice, and that I've earned the right to use it. And so my wish or my hope would be that people feel that at different decades in their lives, that they have the right to use their voice, that they feel their voice has value, and that they feel good where they are in that moment.
Well, I love that you said the right to use it. I think that's well put. And I want to know two things. One, it sounds like you, I mean, you've had challenges and you've had negativity and you've had public scrutiny. And do you, would you change anything, or do you not believe in regret, and you think this is all part of the quilt of your life, or were there some experiences in your life that just was too much to handle, or is it just like this is your path?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at the time you start thinking like, well, I really not enjoying this.
Right. No, I know that, but I've experienced brutal things in my life, but I know that I wouldn't be this person if I hadn't had him. So I honestly.
Yeah, I don't think regret really gets you anywhere.
Right.
So I like, as I said, I like where I am right now, and it's hard earned. And I feel, you know, I wake up every day with it from a place of gratitude. I know I'm it coming to you today from a place of blessings, so to speak.
Beautiful.
And so I'm very aware of that. I also know what it feels like, believe it or not, to feel invisible, to feel like no one's listening, to feel like I might have to scream or yell to have my voice heard. I think that that's a actual normal thing for people to go through. I think that one of the things I've learned, and in my work of women's empowerment, is that to really truly empower women, we really need to bring men to the table. We really need everybody at the table, because people need to hear from the other, right? That their stories of invisibility, their stories of being devalued. And I think that that's what brings people to aha moments. If they were to hear, you have felt devalued, you have felt alone or lost, or that man in your life, that he feels anxious, that he feels scared. I think getting rid of kind of a lot of preconceived notions, this only happens to women, or this only happens, or men have it this much easier or that much easier. I think part of the work really of this generation is to get rid of a lot of those labels, to think like, wow, this only happens to. Yes, there are certain things that happen to women if they're trying to take care of a couple children and they're not getting any help, if they're a single mom. Those are, I think, particular circumstances. But I think that, you know, human beings go through journeys. Human beings experience anxiety and fear and misgivings. And I think the more we understand that, and the more we listen to each other in that, the more we can, I would say, empower and see the other.
Have you ever cracked, and are you ever just like a depressed blob? Do you ever just not create, and do you ever just like, you know, drink wine and think about you're lonely and just like you don't want to do anything and you're like slovenly and just eating food you shouldn't eat and you feel gross.
I'm eating all the time. I ate like a key lime pie last night that my daughter had ordered and left in the refrigerator. And so I didn't eat. I didn't sleep all night because I was like, as I'm sitting here by myself, you know. So yes, I mean, of course, I think everybody, that's human, you know. Do I get lonely? Absolutely. Have I been down and depressed? Absolutely. Have I cried? Absolutely. Do I cry? Absolutely. I've never been a drinker, so I'm not like, that's not my issue, kind of. But, you know, I can wipe out a thing of animal cookies. But yes, I think, you know, look at, you know, am I, you know, in many ways, as I said to you, I'm happy with where I am, but did I expect to be here? No.
Right.
I didn't expect to be
this age. Copy that.
Yeah. You know, I'm just like, wow, okay. You know, gosh, this didn't turn out the way I thought it would, but look at me. Okay. I'm here, you know, that's okay. But you know, this is not, what I, you know, dreamed of.
Well, if you had, so I had a dating profile and the only thing it said on it was I only sweat the small stuff. Like I just wanted to be able to articulate who I am. And so if you had a dating profile, what would it say?
I like to laugh. You know, I like to laugh. That's really important to me. Family is really important to me. Faith is really important to me. And I guess
laughter, faith, and family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
Mission. I like to work. I have to say, I like to get up and have a goal and have a mission. And, you know, that's really important to me. So I'm not, somebody who's going to go and, just chill.
So laughter, faith, family, work, and animal cookies.
Animal cookies, yes. You've got to like dessert if you're going to hang with me.
And not key lime pie because it keeps you up at night. Okay. Well, now I want to know what you want in your personal life. And
I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy enough cognitively, emotionally, physically, and spiritually to, you know, kind of be here for another, you know, 10, 20 years, to know my grandchildren, to be a place of support, and to be in my children and grandchildren's lives. That's what I want. I want to have my mind work. That's why I do so much work in the Alzheimer's space. I have a nonprofit, the Women's Alzheimer's Movement, where I raise money to understand why women are 2/3 of the cases of Alzheimer's, what's happening in women's brains. I'm doing a big report to the governor of California here because California has the most Alzheimer's cases, the most caregivers, and we can really lead the nation if we chart a path forward for the nation on how to deal with this disease and everything that comes with it. So I've been working on that.
That's amazing.
With him.
It's amazing.
But I look at that in terms of my own life. You know, I want to be here and I want to have good relationships with people in my life. And I work really hard at that.
Everyone wants love, but I want to know if that's something that you think about and that you work for. Because in my life, I look for it. The universe hears everything. So we put out there what we want. And while I don't know the end of my story, I hope that I'm able to be in a good partnership
and
experience that kind of.
Every morning I wake up and I say to God, use me. Use me, show me the path. So that's what I put out into the universe.
I like that. I'm going to do that.
That's what I put out. So I don't... I don't wake up and go like, show me a man.
No, God, I get it. But well, I do that in the middle of the night. I wake up and say, show me a man, but somehow it doesn't happen. There's no man there. But that's funny. Maybe one day, maybe you'll take a day off. Maybe on a Saturday, you'll say, show me a man. 6 days a week, you're being used in other ways. You could, one day a week, you could say,
you know,
show me a man.
Okay, I think everybody wants to be loved, right?
Right.
Everybody. I think companionship, being loved, having somebody in your life that has your back, you know, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, I was married for 25 years in that same relationship for 35 years.
Wow.
So that's a huge part of my life. So I'm okay when I come home and it's me and the dogs. But sure, I think always it's nice to come home, to talk to somebody, to have somebody who asks you about your day. I have, you know, four brothers that I'm really close to. I have cousins that I, even though I can't see them now, I do a weekly walk through, and we, you know, talk all the time. I have, you know, several girlfriends that check in on me. And so I'm blessed in that way. But I think it's always nice if you have somebody who, for whom you're the priority, mm-hmm. right? For whom you're
well, the priority. Yeah, it's beautiful what you've what you put out there, and that you're putting that out there through your children and what you put into the world. I mean, life gives you, you know, what you put out there, you get out. I really do believe that. And, you know, I feel the need to say I'm sorry that challenging things have happened to you. I mean, it's part of life and nobody gets out without paying the bill. But that I just wanted to say, woman to woman, I'm sorry for, you know, any of the sadness you've experienced.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like there's a lot of sadness, right? You have to kind of learn like, wow, that was really sad, or I'm really sad about that. Mm-hmm. Or, as I said, I love where I am. It's not where I expected to be, but I am good with where I am and with who I am today. And who I am today.
I so value this conversation. I hope other people do.
Yes,
I really.
So, well, thank you for having me, Bethany. Thank you for inviting me in to talk about my own path and my journey, and I wish you good luck on yours.
And I appreciate it. And I'm glad to have one of the greatest journalists that I interviewed. That's now the feather in my cap. So I appreciate it very much. And
we'll keep adding feathers.
A love there to your family. Okay.
Thank you so much.
We all keep talking here about how these interviews each time are very different from anything we've heard before. Not only different from what we've heard that person say in interviews before, which is so fascinating to me and interesting, but also different from everyone else. So we're really creating a world here of game changers, accomplished people, started from the bottom, now you're here, non-traditional circuitous route. All these things are sort of really coming together to be this really interesting recipe. But Maria Shriver seems so evolved, secure where she is. She definitely seems complex. She really, I think about the threads. She wants her life to actually have meaning, and that was instilled in her since childhood. Sounds like maybe a little, maybe too much pressure, but sounds like she could handle it. But I guess in our parenting, we can think about how much are we pressuring our kids? How much are we trying to get them to do what we want them to do, to be who we want them to be who we are? And then what's the balance of that with how much do we really just instill that you have to, that your kids have to work hard and have to be passionate about something and be good people? And she sounds like a really good person. That was very, very clear. So I really enjoyed it. I'm loving this. So please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, because it really does help people to find us. And it's why we are having successful shows week after week. And I really appreciate that from you. And I can't wait to talk to you next week. Just Be is hosted and executive produced by me, Bethany Frankel, Be Real Productions, and Endeavor Content. Our managing producer is Samantha Allison, and our producer is Caroline Hamilton. Corey Preventure is our consulting producer, with the ever-faithful Sarah Katanak as our assistant producer. Our development executive is Nayantara Roy. Just Be is a production of Endeavor Content and Spoke Media. This episode was mixed by Sam Baer. And to catch more moments from the show, follow us on Instagram at Just Be with Bethany.